In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
A young woman, Kelly, wears a miniskirt as she walks along, talking on a mobile.
No, I can't come up. I'm really late. Anyway, it's over. We agree. Just wanted to hear your voice. Are you spying on me? Huh? Are you checking me out?
A man bumps into her and she drops the phone. The man on the other end of the line looks out of a window.
You need to call an ambulance.
What?
Call an ambulance.
Please, someone help. Call an ambulance, someone please. My friend's dying.
Oh my God.
Later, the victim is lying in hospital on a ventilator.
Multiple skull fractures, intracranial hemorrhages, to broken legs, to shattered kneecaps. The homeless are an easy target.
Who are you, son? What's your story?
Ronnie looks down at the unconscious man, whose face is a mass of cuts and contusions. Images of London are overlaid by shots of the show's characters in action. Law: Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks, Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin, Harriet Walter as DI Natalie Chandler, Order: Ben Daniels as James Steele, Freema Agyeman as Alicia Phillips, and Bill Patterson as George Castle. James, Ronnie, Alicia and Matt walk along chatting together. Law and Order, UK. Stuart Square, Kennington.
Several blows to the head and legs, a lot of blood loss. It was a pretty vicious attack.
And you're sure?
I'm certain.
You knew my name?
That's right, I did.
Okay, thank you. Ronnie. Yeah, victim's name is Roland Kirk. And Sock, I found a weapon in the bushes just here. Iron bar, covered in hair, blood.
Nice. Right. Well, sorry, he sleeps rough here, does he?
Not all the time. If you come this way, gentlemen, I'll show you. You see this van here? That's his home from home.
His home from home?
That's right.
What's wrong with him?
He suffers from manic depression, has huge mood swings. He's bipolar. When he's not here, he's on the Royal Hope Psychiatric Wing.
So who found Kirk?
A local boy. His parents live here in Street Square.
The PC opens the back of a van. Sitting in the back is Nate, the guy who bumped into Kelly.
All right there.
Hello, son. Who are you?
This is Nate Morgan. He and Kirk hang out together. Nate, seriously, why are you dossing in here when you've got a perfectly nice house over the road?
Oh, I don't know. It's not that shabby, is it?
Well, it's a lot better than his place.
Why don't you come with us, Nate, eh? Take you down the station, have a nice cup of tea.
Roland's my friend. I do things for him. I run errands.
He produces a letter and hands it to Matt.
Roland Kirk's repeat prescription.
Yeah, I'll get him his lithium. It's for his depression.
Why?
Oh, he doesn't really like to leave the square.
Huh? Listening, Ronnie paces. Matt glances over at him.
Is he all right?
He's in a coma. Two broken legs and a fractured skull.
Nate looks down miserably.
We just had a row, man. I was bringing him a kebab to say sorry to him, you know, when I found him.
Why are you sleeping in his van when your mum and dad live across the square?
I don't really care about me.
So what do you think, then?
CCTV puts Nate leaving the kebab shop on the high street at 3:03 a.m. There was a wrapped kebab found by Kirk's body.
What about the cameras on the square?
They're all refocused onto the residents' houses away from the gardens.
So what, this was organised by someone?
No. Roland Kirk did it himself with his little helper, Nate.
Right. Well, Kirk's definitely got some previous, that's for sure. Mostly harassment, bit of criminal damage.
So maybe he started one with the wrong person, they followed him home?
Well, except that Nate says Kirk never leaves the square.
apart from when he goes to hospital for his manic depression, which happens on a regular basis.
Well, maybe he's made some enemies there then.
Talk to the psychiatrist.
Friedland Psychiatric Ward, Barnet, N12.
Roland Kirk. We diagnosed him as bipolar, prescribed medication, and sent him out with a clear rehabilitation plan.
Ronnie nods.
6 months later, he was back.
The revolving door of mental health.
We sort him out, restore the chemical imbalance in his brain, and release him. He heads out, flushes his lithium down the loo. His mind starts racing, he loses control, breaks the law, gets sent back to us. Never-ending pattern. There's no real place for him anywhere. No sympathy either. He's an emotional refugee at odds with the world.
Tell me, did he ever make any enemies amongst the other patients in all the times that he's been in here?
No. He's quiet in here. His illness is under control.
Does anyone ever visit him?
But his sister always visits.
With Sharon Kirk.
Is he going to be all right?
Well, he is still unconscious.
But he will wake up.
She regards them anxiously.
Well, who did this? People think, you know, he's some kind of tramp, but he's not. He's just ill, and all these experts he sees, no one can help him.
Well, how long has he suffered from manic depression?
Since he was 18. He used to visit all the time, and then one night he took my five-year-old up onto the roof to look at the stars. Well, we couldn't have him in the house after that.
Can't say I blame you.
Yeah, he's not a psychopath. He's just my daft big brother that used to take me go-karting, and I still love him.
When was the last time you spoke to him, Sharon?
About a year ago. He seemed okay. He's fine. He said that some family on the square were looking after him.
Okay, do you know who they were?
No, I don't know. Well, they've obviously turned their backs on him. Like I did.
She nods glumly. Ronnie looks down.
I'm sorry, I should be with him. I'm sorry.
She hurries off.
Okay. Let's talk to the residents of the square. Start with the lady that found.
Home of Kelly and Joe Butler.
I've been having cocktails in a bar up in Soho with my mates. The taxi dropped me off the corner after 3. I was walking past the park when Nate crashed into me. You know, he freaks me out. He's always staring at me when I do yoga.
She does do it by the window.
The only part of the flat with any light. It's like living in a cave.
Pretty expensive cave.
I'm going down in value by the minute.
How long have you lived here?
2 months. Got a small inheritance. We're trying for a baby. The park swung it for us, really.
Yeah, the estate agent didn't mention the resident madman.
Oh, well, you can't have been too happy about that.
Well, we moved here to get away from this kind of thing.
She takes a pill.
Kelly, did you see anyone other than Nate?
Patrick. Patrick Orsi from the CAF. He came out just before Joe.
I just heard Nate screaming.
But you didn't hear anything before that?
No, I was asleep. I have to be up early. I'm a mature medical student and part-time courier. I waited up until 2, when Kelly was meant to be home. Then I went to bed.
Joe was out within minutes of Kelly finding Kirk, but his bedroom's right at the back, so how would he have heard anything?
Well, I reckon he was waiting up for her, because he don't like her being out so late. You can see that in his face.
Why lie about being asleep?
Because he doesn't want to look as jealous as he actually is.
There's 8 people living in that house, and no one hears Kirk cry out. I don't know, I thought these squares were all friendly and communal, not places where everybody just turns their back.
Well, there's always someone keeping an eye.
An old lady.
Nice view from up here, Mrs. Bowen. I bet nothing gets past you, does it?
Maybe not. But then...
She looks down.
But then what?
She avoids making eye contact with Matt and looks awkward.
Did you know Roland Kirk?
They're good people round here.
Well, did you see or hear anything at the time of the attack?
I'm a bit deaf, dear.
Ronnie looks out of the window. Orsi's cafe.
That time last night, I was upstairs watching telly.
Okay.
And you were out as soon as you heard Nate shouting?
Well, yeah, I was worried about it. Nate doesn't normally do that sort of thing.
So you heard Kirk cry out, chose not to do anything?
He yells all the time.
Yeah, but that's all well and good, Mr. Orsi, but he could have died.
Look, I'm not going to pretend I'm sorry. I was doing okay until that psycho Kirk turned up a few years back. He wanted to eat in, but I thought he stank, so I said no. Ever since, he's outside whispering to people about rats and cockroaches. I see them walk away. Look, that madman is ruining my business. I tell you lot, but you do nothing. When you catch whoever did it, shake their hand for me.
With Natalie.
There are no prints on the iron bar. Kirk's still in a coma, and you tell me you can't get any witnesses.
Which is a clue in itself. I mean, the residents of the square hated Kirk and want him out of there.
Yeah, maybe they looked out, saw it was Kirk, and chose to turn a blind eye.
Yeah, well, it's our job to stop people policing themselves. So, keep digging.
But, Governor, we still have a few residents to talk to. I mean, Nate's mum and dad, the Morgans, they were out when we first called.
Well, they can't be too happy about their son hanging out with Kirk.
Home of Harry, Irene and Nate Morgan.
When Kirk turned up, he seemed OK at first, and we helped him. He'd do a bit of gardening. I'd made him some food. He taught Nate the guitar.
That was our biggest mistake, letting him have any contact with Nate.
Why do you say that?
Because Nate is, how shall I put this, he's impressionable.
When he was 15, he tried to cut his wrist.
Why is that relevant? They don't need to know that.
Harry, we haven't got anything to hide.
Oh, I'm sorry, that must have been a tough time for you.
Yeah, but Nate was back on track until Kirk showed up.
Yeah, most of the residents seem to think that Kirk's a bit of a menace.
Yeah, but Harry thinks it's disgusting that he should have to pay taxes when this scum like Roland walking around.
The house has been on the market for a year. Anytime we get prospective buyers around, Kirk is always there, welcoming them to the neighbourhood.
So they don't hang around too long?
We had a residents' association meeting about it to talk about it, to try to get some evidence. Here, have a look at this.
Oh, here we go.
A video of Kirk, Nate and some mates around a brazier in the square.
Why are you doing this? What? Look, don't put the camera in my face. Go home. What is the point?
You're all eating rats. Rats, you're all eating rats.
How many times have I told you? Piss off.
That's your father, Nate. What does your mum think of him?
Footage of Kirk bothering Mr. Orsi, then trying to grope Kelly as she walks past.
Go away! I've had enough of this. Could you please stop following me?
Irene's arm is in plaster.
So whenever I see him, he's wearing my jacket, with my brandy, my cigars, with my son. Anyway, we weren't here because I had taken Irene to A&E, and when we got back, the ambulance had already gone with Kirk in it.
Sorry, how did you get the cast?
Earlier in the evening, I went over to Kirk's van to see if I could get one of our paintings back.
But it wasn't a painting, it was an icon, actually. But the point is that Nate seemed fit to donate this to Kirk.
Because, we haven't got enough stuff.
OK, so Kirk pushed me over and I broke my wrist.
He didn't mean to.
Yeah, while our son stood by, out of his brains on whatever drug Kirk had given him.
Kirk didn't give me anything. Why do you feel the need to blame everything that's wrong in your life on him?
Because he's ruining our life, that's why.
One second, sorry. Brooks, hello? OK. No, that's fine, thank you. Well, Roland Kirk has just come out of his coma.
Irene looks ruffled.
Then he can tell us who did this.
Nate turns away. Me and Matt join Sharon at Roland's bedside.
They came from behind me.
Did you say they? There was more than one, sir?
Roland nods.
I don't know, I told you that. They were behind me. I was supposed to protect myself.
So you didn't see anything of your attackers? Mr. Kirk.
Saw a dragon.
Ronnie looks puzzled.
A dragon?
A red dragon. He's on top of me.
Matt looks at Ronnie, who shakes his head. Later, they're with Natalie.
So, we're looking for a dragon.
Oh, not just any dragon. This one was red.
Well, he could be remembering the paramedic giving him the old CPR mouth to mouth.
Well, that's a bit of a leap, isn't it?
What about Harry Morgan? Kirk hurts his wife, his son's hanging around with him. Does his story check out?
His car is seen on the CCTV on the high street at 3:25 after the attack.
What if it is just a gang who beat him up and moved on?
Well, listen, if the residents had seen a gang, they would certainly be talking. And there's too many people on that square keeping stum.
Didn't the Morgans say they had resident meetings? Get hold of the minutes.
Mate, what's your dad doing?
I don't know.
Merry Christmas, isn't it?
Merry Christmas, mate.
You disappointed with your father?
When Roland Kirk ain't about or he's AWOL, they've got nothing to complain about other than the litter.
Yeah, but when he's back, he racks up an impressive 117 complaints and the meeting runs on for 2 hours.
You're obsessed, I'm telling you. I mean, what actual harm is he doing? Other than being a, you know, bit of a pain in the arse.
He assaulted Irene Morgan.
Well, maybe he was defending his territory.
You are joking.
No, there's two sides to every story, man, there. I mean, Nate gives Roland Kirk the stuff fair and square. Irene Morgan comes over all threatening, there's a bit of a scuffle. And he don't mean to hurt her.
Ron, he's a parasite. I mean, seriously, would you want to live there? They are trapped. Their house prices are going down, they can't sell the place, and it's all because of Roland Kirk. And they did apply for an ASBO, but it was turned down. Because he was friendly with the Morgans and apparently had slept there in the past. No, I'm sorry, mate. I would want shot of him.
Well, look at these last complaints here, right, from Dora Bowen. Now, she reckons she can't get any sleep because Roland Kirk keeps her awake at night.
Isn't she supposed to be deaf?
They go back to see her.
I told you I didn't hear anything.
On account of being deaf.
It has its compensations.
But you did complain to the Residents Association, saying that Roland Kirk was keeping you awake at night. And he was only singing in the park.
How did you know about that?
The detectives, Dora.
She looks unsettled.
I can't tell you what I saw.
And why not?
I'm all alone. I don't get out much now. They look after me round here.
Well, I can understand that. But in the same vein, a man almost died out there, didn't he? He doesn't deserve that.
I'll tell you what, you tell us, and we won't let on where we got the information from.
Dora eyes Matt uncertainly. He regards her reassuringly.
There was this horrible cry. And then this grunting. I got up, I came to the window. But it was all quiet by then. After a while, I saw two men leaving the square. One of them was too far away for me to see who it was. But the other one was Joe Butler. He was in his dressing gown.
Matt and Ronnie go round to talk to Kelly.
Joe's at work at the moment. You can get him on this number.
Thanks. Can I hold on to this?
Yeah, sure.
We'll show ourselves out.
Ronnie smiles as they head off.
Hold on. I know you talked to Patrick.
Patrick Horsey, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have anything to do with it. The only reason he came out so quickly that night is because he was on the phone to me.
And why would he be calling you at 3 o'clock in the morning?
I called him. I teach dance classes at the CAC.
So does Joe know about you and Patrick?
No, look, please don't tell him it's over now.
Are you telling us this because Kirk happened to come out of his coma?
He saw me and Patrick together once, and then when I was with Joe, he'd follow us around and talk about how I love to eat Italian. I thought it was funny.
And so you ended it?
Yeah.
She takes a silk kimono with a red dragon embroidered on the back of it out of the washing machine. Ronnie and Matt leave the house.
Kirk reckons he saw a dragon, didn't he? So it could have been that kimono.
Well, maybe Kirk told Joe about the affair. Joe didn't want to confront Kelly in case he lost her. And he was scared that Kirk might make it public because it would embarrass him, so he shut him up.
Well, yeah, Kirk's the eyes of the square, isn't he? So he knows all the secrets.
But he never actually named Joe.
No, but Dora Bowen did.
Joe.
Look, she's got it wrong. She's an old lady. I didn't go to the park till after Kirk was found.
Did Roland Kirk ever trouble you personally?
Well, only by hassling Kelly.
What was that about?
Well, you've seen her. She's gorgeous. As a man, isn't he?
Does that make you feel threatened, Joe? As a man, I mean, you're out all hours. She doesn't work.
Apart from the dance classes at Horses.
Look, she's out of my league. I know that. She flirts, always has. Now and then she takes a little too far. But she always comes home to me.
Did Kirk ever say that Kelly was maybe going a little too far?
No, I've never even spoken to the man.
Joe Butler is lying. We know he spoke to Roland Kirk because Kelly told us, all right? Laura Bowen puts Butler at the scene of the crime and said he was wearing a dressing gown. Joe does have a red kimono dressing gown with oriental patterns on the back.
Well, Kirk said the dragon was breathing. Joe's a medical student. Maybe he was giving him CPR.
If you're doing CPR on someone who's bleeding like a stuck pig, you're going to get blood all over you, aren't you?
Yeah.
We need that kimono for forensics.
You can't search his house without a good reason.
Well, then why don't we arrest Butler on suspicion of GBH? That way we can search the house and get all the evidence we need. He ain't exactly hiding it, is he? I mean, the poor bloke's just thrown the kimono straight in the wash.
He's not a practice criminal.
No.
Well, that's true. He might cave earlier than you think. Get him in cuffs.
Dora Bowen told us that she saw you leaving the park just after the attack.
She's wrong. I was in bed asleep.
What have you got against Roland Kirk?
And Kelly also told us that Roland Kirk used to wind you up about her and Patrick Orsi. But you told us you'd never spoken to Roland Kirk.
Oh, it can't be easy, Joe. Him goading you about your wife and another man.
Please, I'm sorry I lied to you. I was scared.
Why? What are you scared about, Joe?
This. You know, being here. I didn't hurt Kirk. You got to believe me.
Well, Dora Bowen said that she saw someone else with you. Who was that?
No one. Because I didn't come out till after Kelly found Kirk's body.
What were you wearing then?
Why?
Just answer the question, please, Joe.
His eyes dart from Matt to Ronnie.
Joggers and a sweatshirt.
Ronnie eyes him suspiciously.
Right.
Forensics found blood matching Kirk's on Butler's kimono, which puts Butler at the scene.
But Joe's still saying he was asleep. But then again, he's scared about something.
How's Kirk now?
Well, he's stable. He's on lithium and painkillers and still confused about what happened that night. So.
Well, let's do a video ID parade, see if we can't jog his memory.
Can't really see. I have blood in my eyes.
Okay. It's fine. Just take your time and just keep looking at the screen if you can. There you go. What about him?
Mugshots of men wearing the red kimono.
Dragons.
And he's our star witness.
This ain't funny.
No, not at all, sir.
Does he think I'm funny?
Just take your time. Calm down. We know there's dragons on the dressing gown. We're just trying to ascertain who was wearing the dressing gowns. So just keep looking at the screen. Okay?
A mugshot of Joe wearing the dressing gown pops up. Roland stares intently at it.
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah, he's on top of me. He's shouting at me, knew my name.
Ronnie glances at Matt, who nods.
Yeah, he tried to kill me.
The mugshot of Joe stares out of the screen. Crown Prosecution Service.
My client has been charged with GBH on the word of a man who claims he was attacked by a dragon.
Roland Kirk has identified you, Mr. Butler. He claims you tried to kill him.
He said the same about the nurse who tried to change his IV drip this morning. This is a joke.
Not for Roland Kirk. He might never walk again.
What?
James walks over and sits beside a startled-looking Joe.
He was beaten over and over with an iron bar, Mr. Butler. On his head, on his legs. You were seen coming out of the park in the square at the time of the beating.
Well, I didn't hurt him.
Then who did?
You're intimidating my client, James.
Somebody took the law into their own hands, beat Roland Kirk and left him to die. I'm not going to let that stand.
But it wasn't me. I saved his life. I'm a good person. But something terrible happened. I got dragged into it. I gave him mouth to mouth.
What exactly happened?
Joe looks uneasy.
This is your last chance to tell us the truth, Mr. Butler.
He looks at his brief, who nods encouragingly.
I was waiting up for Kelly. I heard noises from the park. I went outside. Orsi was by the park gate. He said he'd found Kirk in a state. I saw he's out cold, so I gave him CPR.
Why didn't you call an ambulance?
Orsi said he'd see to it. He told me to go home, wash my dressing gown. I said I wasn't there. He's got a temper, Patrick Orsi. He
He's punched Kurt before. Talk to him.
You want to know why I punched him? He pushed my son into the road. My son's 8. Ever since my ex won't let him come over.
He knew about you and Kelly. Were you scared Joe might find out?
No. I wanted to tell him, but Kelly wasn't having it. Look, I got 100 motives, okay? But I didn't do it. I got previous for ABH. I won't go down for him. I just came out and I found him.
You told Joe that you'd call an ambulance. There's no record of any call.
That's because I didn't want it traced back to me or Joe. I knew he was a squealer.
So you went inside, watched telly while Kirk lay bleeding to death in the park.
If I hadn't come out, I wouldn't have found him. Look, he's a tramp and a crazy. It was bound to happen sooner or later.
So you think he deserved it?
You don't know him. He's a bully. He's cruel. And he loves to watch people break.
James and Alicia are with George.
Patrick Horsey admits he didn't call an ambulance, but he also says he didn't beat Kirk.
And Joe Butler said that all he did was to try and save his life.
So who do we believe?
Well, there's only one person who knows the truth. Roland Kirk.
James visits Roland in hospital.
I'm a Crown prosecutor. I want to find out who did this to you.
Don't bother. The system don't work for people like me, you know that. It's for ordinary people. With orderly lives. People with order in their lives, eh? Don't put any trust in me, mate.
Is that what the Morgans did? Trusted you?
They thought I was taking their boy away from them. They used to come to me.
James nods.
I used to sell my lithium to buy cocaine. I don't take it. I drink whiskey. I drink lots of whiskey.
James nods and looks down.
I've a lot of chaos in my head some days.
He raises his eyebrows, one of which has been split open.
I can try and make the system work for you this time. But you have to trust me.
Roland lies back and stares into the distance.
Yeah, I was trying to sleep in the park. I could hear Orsi talking to someone nearby, and that's when it started. They hit me. I didn't think they were going to stop. I thought I was going to die. I didn't mean to push Irene Morgan. Her arm was in a sling when she came back from the hospital.
James frowns.
You saw Irene Morgan come back before you were attacked?
Roland nods. Later, James shows Alicia stills from CCTV footage.
Alicia? CCTV footage that backed up Harry Morgan's story. I had the image enlarged. Take a look. That's Harry Morgan's car, seen in the high street at 3:25 a.m., going in the direction of the square. Look at the passenger seat.
There's no one there.
We thought this evidence cleared him. It doesn't. He's seen on CCTV leaving the hospital at 2:30 a.m.
Which gives him enough time to go home, drop off his wife.
And have his revenge. They must have driven off again to clear his head, dump his clothes. I don't know.
Is there footage of him familiar?
No. We haven't got enough to charge him. No one's even mentioned his name. But we now know he lied. Talk to him. Check out his story.
Kirk's lying.
Mr. Morgan, you told the police that you came back as Kirk was being taken away by the ambulance. But you were seen out in your car, alone, at that time. So, you see, you must have come back earlier with your wife.
Look, why am I having to defend myself? And why do you people always take their side?
Whose side?
The inadequates, the people who can't function in society. What about my rights? And I'm not a bigot. I'm an architect. I read The Guardian, for crying out loud.
Look, I understand how desperate you must feel.
No, you don't.
She stares up at him.
My son hates me because Kirk got inside his head and turned him against me, and he has made my life a living nightmare. Now, if that's all you need, I really need to get back to work, okay? Thank you.
With James.
I checked the phones at the hospital and cross-matched them with the corridor CCTV.
Got the bit between your teeth, have you?
Harry Morgan called Patrick Alsu at 1:34 a.m. from the hospital.
Morgan's upset. He wants revenge. He phones up Alsu to keep an eye on Kirk.
And when Morgan gets back, the two of them decide to take Kirk on. Kirk said he heard Orsi talking to someone before the beating started.
James looks thoughtful.
Which makes this a premeditated, cold-blooded vigilante attack.
Alicia nods.
Let's put pressure on Orsi.
Harry didn't get back until after Kirk was found.
Orsi smokes.
We know you were in the park after Kirk was attacked.
I'm not lying.
If you and Harry went into the park together, you're looking at joint enterprise, GBH.
Orsi puffs agitatedly on his fag.
It's a long stretch in custody.
Orsi looks down nervously.
Harry Morgan must be a very good friend if you're willing to do time for him.
Orsi blows out smoke, then looks over at James, who stares steadily back at him.
Harry came back. He took Irene into his house and came out again. He ran to the building site round the corner, picked up an iron bar, and he went into the park.
Alicia looks at James, who looks pensive. Ronnie and Matt get out of a Ford Mondeo and approach Harry and Irene Morgan as they leave their house.
Harry Morgan, I'm arresting you on suspicion of GBH. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something
this
you later rely on.
This is bloody
this
ridiculous.
Way, and anything that you do say may be given in evidence.
You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, mate.
I was only doing your job for you.
Residents gather to watch, including Kelly, Nate, Orsi and Mrs. Bowen. As Harry gets in the back of the Mondeo, Nate walks over and stares at him through the window. Harry sees him and looks away.
Bastard.
Order UK, Office of George Castle.
Can you believe this? Harry Morgan's entered a not guilty plea saying he acted in self-defense.
What terrific. Suppose we shouldn't expect honour from a vigilante.
He claims he went into the park to confront Kirk. Kirk lashed out and Harry conveniently found an iron bar on the ground and fought him off.
Yeah, but Patrick Orsi told you that Morgan got the bar in the building site nearby.
Exactly. The attack was vicious and premeditated.
I know where the jury's sympathies will lie. With the man whose wife was attacked, not with her violent victim.
Doesn't matter what Kirk did. Harry Morgan's actions can't go unpunished. I'll make the jury see that.
Could be tougher than you think. We're all potential vigilantes deep down. If I'd been through what Harry Morgan had been through, I might be tempted to have a go myself.
And beat a man unconscious.
We're all liberals until the front garden is invaded, James. The jury will be imagining what they would do in the same situation. And we can't afford for Harry Morgan to become a cause célèbre, James. The last thing we want is a middle-class vigilante hero. So you go into that court and you expose him for the thug that he is.
Crown v. Morgan.
Did Mr. Morgan phone you from the hospital?
Yes. He asked where Kirk was. I told him he was in the park.
When did you next see Mr. Morgan?
When he brought Irene home. He got her indoors and then came out again, and I went down.
What happened then?
He wanted to talk to Kirk. Said he was tired of walking away. Then, sorry, Harry.
Answer the question, please.
And he went to the building site, picked up an iron bar and went into the park.
Members of the jury shift in their seats.
Did you follow Mr. Morgan into the park?
I waited by the gate. I didn't see anything. Then Harry left. He was covered in blood. He got into his car and he drove off. And that's when I went in.
Thank you. No further questions.
The defense lawyer cross-examines Orsi.
You're very good friends with Mr. Morgan. Would you say he's a decent man?
Yeah.
He's helped me through tough times. I couldn't ask for a better friend.
Orsi looks over at Harry, who looks down.
Now, this isn't right.
Alicia looks up in surprise.
What isn't right, Mr. Orsi?
A decent, hard-working family man in the dock. Kirk's ruining our lives. Harry's the victim here.
Can I remind you that you are still under oath? Could you tell us what happened that night?
I did go in after him. I yelled at him to walk away, and he did. He dropped the bar. He was walking away when Kirk attacked him. He only picked it up again when Kirk shoved him to the ground. I lied. I'm sorry. I didn't know what to say.
He nods emphatically at Harry.
Well, it's better late than never where the truth's concerned. Thank you.
Any re-examination, Mr. Steele?
Yes, my lord.
I thought as much.
James gets to his feet.
If this new version is true, Mr. Orsi, why didn't you intervene when Harry Morgan picked the bar up again?
Harry was only defending himself.
I see, so you walked away as the fight was starting?
Orsi nods rather uncertainly.
Even though your close friend was in danger?
Yeah.
In a back room...
The jury must know he's lying.
They might prefer the new version. Clean-cut man defends himself against crazy Trump.
Harry Morgan keeps telling everyone he's an honorable man, but he won't take a shred of responsibility for his actions. Harry Morgan's a good guy. He was defending himself. Him and his family are the people the CPS should be serving, James. Not prosecuting. He beat a man in cold blood, then he left him to die. These are the people we're meant to put away. Roland Kirk is a violent sociopath who terrorized a neighborhood. You put the wrong man in the dock. And everyone in that court can see it. Except you.
The defense lawyer goes. Later, Roland's on the witness stand.
I saw the Morgans when they came back from the hospital. I was hiding in the park. I was going to sleep there that night. I shut my eyes. A little while later, I heard Orsi shouting at someone. That's when it started.
The attack?
I tried to protect myself by crawling away. He started hitting my legs. I remember thinking I was going to die.
His sister Sharon is there.
Can you identify your attacker?
No.
What is your relationship with the defendant?
He hates me. His son prefers to hang out with me. His wife sometimes brings me food behind his back.
Has the defendant ever threatened you?
Threatens me all the time.
Thank you. No further questions.
James sits. The defense lawyer cross-examines Roland.
You have several previous convictions, don't you, Mr. Kirk?
You know I do.
Well, the jury doesn't, Mr. Kirk, so perhaps you might care to answer.
Yes. Harassment. Public disorder. Criminal damage.
Why did you break Irene Morgan's arm?
Pardon?
Why did you break Irene Morgan's arm?
Roland looks down and shifts uncomfortably.
She wanted to take the painting back that Nate gave me. I'm sorry I did that. Don't know my own strength.
And is it fair to say that sometimes you also don't always know your own mind?
Roland closes his eyes.
No, I know it. I just don't like it.
And you like to torment people, don't you? As we know from your previous criminal convictions.
Don't choose to be this way.
He bites his lip and looks awkward. Harry's on the stand.
I took the iron bar from a building site and I went to the park. Kirk was lying on the ground, had his back to me.
and I couldn't go through with it. I dropped the bar. But Kirk heard it fall to the ground, got up, pushed me over.
What did you do then?
I panicked. I reached for the bar, hit out, caught him on the head. He fell. I shouldn't have done it, but I had to defend myself.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
The defense lawyer nods to the judge and sits down. James gets to his feet to cross-examine Harry.
Why did you take the iron bar into the park?
I had an idea that I was going to teach Kirk a lesson, but I saw sense. I dropped the bar.
Then picked it up again and beat him to within an inch of his life.
I was scared. He kept coming at me.
But when did he stop coming at you, Mr. Morgan? You'd broken his kneecaps and his legs, or was it after you bashed him twice on the head, fracturing his skull?
I was just defending myself.
All the time, he was covering his face. He didn't even see you, did he? It's not a man who fought back, is it? You're lying, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You didn't drop the bar, did you? You were out for revenge. Your family was falling apart. You wanted to take that anger and that frustration.
I wanted to defend them, yes, because no one else was going to help me.
Oh, so you'd thought about attacking Mr. Kirk prior to that night?
Yes, plenty of times. You've heard how often he provoked us. I would pray that he would have an accident or anything. But I never acted on those thoughts. I am not the bad guy here.
Yet in picking up that iron bar, you decided to take the law into your own hands.
What was I meant to do? We couldn't get away from him. I was desperate. I'm not going to deny that. He was taking my son away from me.
Oh, you'd had problems with your son before you even met Mr. Kirk.
Yes, and we were sorting that out as a family before he showed up.
You blame Mr. Kirk for everything, don't you, Mr. Morgan? Is that how you can convince yourself you've done nothing wrong?
I told you! I regained my self-control before I did anything stupid. I dropped the bar. And then I used it in self-defense. What would you have done?
He looks at the members of the jury. James addresses them.
Whose freedom has priority here? You might think Roland Kirk is your worst nightmare. You might understand Harry Morgan's frustration, but he broke the law. He beat Roland Kirk in the most brutal way. Then he walked away, leaving Roland Kirk for dead. That wasn't self-defense. That was vigilantism. In viciously attacking a sleeping man, Harry Morgan became a bigger menace to society than Roland Kirk could ever be.
The defense lawyer.
Imagine your own communities, besieged by vagrants who terrorized you day and night. And imagine the authorities failing to help. Harry Morgan was at the end of his tether that night. He may have taken a bar into the park with the intention of violence, but he knew he was better than that. And he tried to walk away. Roland Kirk attacked him. He defended himself. Harry Morgan is the victim here today. He acted to defend his property, his family, and his way of life.
The clerk of the court.
Members of the jury, have you reached a verdict upon which you are all agreed?
Yes.
On count one, causing grievous bodily harm with intent, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
The defense lawyer smiles over at James. Harry flops back into his seat in relief. Sharon closes her eyes. Harry nods to his brief and Irene smiles at him. He smiles back. Nate regards Harry numbly, then gets up and goes. Sharon stares at Roland, who shifts in his seat. Fed up, Alicia and James leave the courtroom.
Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. That includes juries.
Come on, I don't think Harry Morgan's evil. He got pushed too far. He made a mistake.
And he's gone unpunished.
So, the system finally came through for me.
You expect me to congratulate you?
Harry makes to go.
Let's hope that Kirk stays away this time, because if he comes back, I'll do it again.
James glares at Harry, who turns and walks away. ITFC audio description by John Walskill. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters and events is entirely coincidental.